This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, folks. My name's Rich Bradbury, in the studio with...
Christine Wong.
And not in the studio with...
Arvind Yuvraj.
We are talking about a whole bunch of stuff today. We just kicked off the show with a story about how some companies are only allowing, or potentially only allowing, inoculated staff back into work. But our topic of discussion today is going to be around whether or not English is still the lingua franca of the business world. Do you think English is still the default language for the business world? Let us know what you think about that. 018-789-8899. Get us on WhatsApp, Twitter, or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Do we have any updates over on social media so far? Chris, do you want to take away some Instagram stuff for us?
So on Instagram, we have a poll. That's just yes or no, with yes at 88% and no at 12%. And we've got two responses. Tortilla27 says, our top management can't speak BM, so we use English. And PDX3156 says, yes for now. Who knows in 15 years?
Interesting, of course. Arv, what have you got over there on Twitter? Anything?
So same yes or no poll. 88.9% say yes and 11.1% say no. A message from Up41 who says, yes, because most business are from UK or ex-UK colonies like the USA in the past, but time is changing slowly and surely. If Malaysians want to be relevant, better learn one more language, be it Indonesian, German, Chinese, Thai, depending where the business comes from. And then there is another message from Gupreet Singh who says, yes, it's just a universal language. Also, more tertiary education is in English.
Okay. Well, Arv, this is a topic that you picked up. Do you want to talk to us more about it and why you decided to go with this?
Yeah, so very interesting article from Fast Company that says, that asked the question if English will continue being the lingua franca in the business world after AI and machine learning help people sort of translate their languages and sort of unseat English as the dominant language. So it starts by saying that advances in AI-powered translation can help us overcome language inequities around the globe by helping everyone access information in their native language. So in theory, it's people's ability to access info, products, and services equally independent of language. And in practice, it's making that ability as strong in developing countries as in developed nations. So there's a very interesting example that they give here. They say that in Portugal, British Airways only offers customer service in Portuguese on weekdays during business hours. And there are almost 230 million native speakers of Portuguese worldwide, the majority of them being in Brazil. And it's the sixth most spoken language in the world. And yet, British Airways, being a massive global company that it is, only gives customer service in that native language on weekdays during business hours. So if you talk to through chat or whatever it is on their 24/7 platforms, you wouldn't be able to speak to someone in that native language. So there's a barrier. There's a sort of divide. So moving to the effect of language inequality for businesses, you end up with missed opportunities, frustrated customers or potential customers, and ultimately lower profits. A 2020 study from Common Sense Advisory showed that 40% of customers will not buy products from companies that don't support their language. Three quarters of buyers said that they want product information in their native language. And with AI and machine learning, there won't be an excuse to force a language on anyone anymore or get them to learn the other language. Mm. And using AI, an English-speaking customer service agent can reply to an email or chat to a Portuguese customer, for example, in Portuguese, because you have that on-the-fly translation. They also open up and give examples for other language inequalities. So like in education, tourism, and coding, other areas that suffer from language inequality. So the pandemic has also thrown this inequality into a sharp relief and fueled a huge demand for subtitles on digital content in English, because a lot of people are watching things in different languages now, especially on streaming services and stuff. So even in the tourism sector, the best resources for travelers are usually written by locals in their native language. It's not in the common language brochures or pamphlets and stuff. Plus, to really understand a country politically, economically, and culturally depends or demands the ability to digest incoming information in a different language, not in English. Mm. And this is slowly changing, they say, but it still has problems. When Alibaba required their developers to learn English because all the tools and coding languages were English-based, the Chinese started building their own tools in Mandarin for Chinese people. But on the flip side of that, all the developers who don't speak Mandarin are now locked outside the circle of knowledge unless they start learning the language. So there's still a problem of there being a dominant language in like one country and people having to learn that language. Mm. So basically, in closing, what the author suggests is that we build tools that are agnostic, built on AI and machine learning instead of having a dominant language in business. So technology holds the key through rapid translation assisted by AI. And last year alone, they saw major breakthroughs in AI-centered language models. So from Facebook's M2M100 translation model to Google's MT5 and OpenAI's GPT-3. And it also says that eventually we will see a common multilingual machine translation model. So you won't have to learn a single language to do business in any given country, which I thought was interesting.
It's fascinating stuff. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been doing a lot of interviews with people who develop chatbots and AI and work with machine learning. And one of the companies I interviewed just a couple of weeks ago is called Yellow AI. And they're one of the world's leading conversational CX automation platforms. And they can work in over 100 different languages, backwards and forwards. Not just that, but they can even look at stuff like, you know, how many Malaysians speak in, like, you know, Malaysian Rojak. And it can look at that and kind of be very, very accurate with how it works. And it's fascinating to watch this machine learning stuff and being able to reply to somebody who's just, you know, typing away in the normal everyday how we all speak here on our WhatsApp, and it replying back and it being so scarily accurate that it really does not matter what language you're typing in.
Like the nuance.
Yeah, it almost knows what how to kind of be sarcastic and all kinds of stuff. And it's scarily accurate of. But it's right, this idea of like how English now has to be this business language. If you're working remotely, I think for the most part, AI and machine learning now is at a point where it doesn't really matter what language it's in, for the most part. But for coding, like you said, that's going to be a difficult point.
We spoke about this like briefly before, like a couple of years ago, where the other issue is that English is always linked to education. So even if you're in a country where English is not the native language and you can't speak in English, for some reason it's always linked to you know, being more intellectual or being more educated, which is a bias, right? And now with this thing moving forward, there, you know, AI could possibly change that perception.
If it can understand like sentiment and intent and past behavior from, you know, customers and other people, then you're on a winner there. Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of sitting here thinking that it's sort of been drilled into my head that although obviously I do speak English, my lack of ability in other languages is a big detriment to the opportunities that I would have, know, in the workforce, generally speaking. So if this were to make the case for a sort of a universal understanding. A Babelfish, essentially, yes, Hitchhiker's Guide style. That would be great. I would like that, please. Thank you.
Let's have a bit of that, shall we? Have you managed to get hold of somebody we're going to speak to in a little while, right?
Yeah, so after the break, we'll talk to Dr. Chow Ming Huat, who is a senior lecturer at University of Malaya and a visiting professor at De La Salle University Dasmariñas in the Philippines.
All right, let's take a short break. Music from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers with Refugee here on BFM 89.9. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, folks, to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury with
Christine Wong.
And
Arvind Yuvraj.
We're asking you today a question. Do you think English is still the default language for the business world? Why or why not? Let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. Arv, I know you've got a couple of tweets you want to highlight. Let's have a listen.
Yeah, so a couple of extra tweets. This comes from Naya, who says that even though I voted yes, but I realized that 80% of the time BM is the spoken language in my office and I work for a public listed corporation, but English is still the one for all written communication. And then Queen says yes, at least in MNCs.
Right. I mean, the reason we're asking this is, you know, now a lot of people are working from home and whatever, and that these discussions that you can have via email or via WhatsApp or whatever can be often instantly translated using AI and machine learning and be delivered to you in your local language without there being any confusion or bad translations like there used to be many years ago when you use Google Translate. Oftentimes it's like you're speaking to a real person because you are. Anyway, that's what we're asking you again. But Arv, who was it you managed to get on the phone for us?
Yeah, so on the line with us now is Dr. Chow Meng Huat. He's a senior lecturer at University of Malaya and a visiting professor at De La Salle University Desmarinas in the Philippines. Dr. Meng Huat, we wanted to ask you, like, what are your overall thoughts on this article from Fast Company and the fact that technology could remove the need for a lingua franca in the business world?
Regarding this question, I actually feel rather thrilled, really, to think about the possibility that technology could remove the need for a lingua franca in the business world. And I'm hoping that this is happening one day very soon. The benefits are obvious. For example, a less discriminating and more inclusive, respectful world would be created. This in turn promotes a healthy environment for business meetings and dealings, for example. In fact, a similar line of discussion has been central to a highly popular master's course, which I'm teaching at University of Malaya on human language acquisition or development. In this course, which is offered every semester at the Faculty of Languages and Linguistics, my students and I explore how different levels of achievement or proficiency in a language often lead to issues of social judgment. This in turn leads to language inequality, and all these calls for actions for social justice.
So what do you think are some of the very long-term effects of something like this on education, on technology, on culture and other things?
I think the super long-term effects of removing lingua franca according to machine translation are positive in general. In education, part of the burden of the learning process will be reduced because, as we know, knowledge in different areas of science, social sciences, and humanities becomes more readily accessible. And just imagine how exciting it is that an American can now freely read and understand classical Chinese literature, for example. Of course, there would be interaction between different elements and perceptions of cultural practices, such as ways of expressions which signal politeness. But this is not a bad thing. After all, a real understanding of politeness comes from people's willingness to communicate and their own reflective potential and capabilities. The part that worries me a bit would be the technical aspects. Current machine translation models need large data or big corpora as support, including the most advanced MT5, GPT-3, M2M100, So it is difficult to ensure sufficient data for languages that are spoken by a small community or what is sometimes called low-resource language. Perhaps future technologies will be able to reduce the amount of data required, and this enables the inclusion of as many different languages as possible.
Right. And what's the dynamic like in countries like ours, where there are three primary languages, one national language, and English generally spoken kind of everywhere? Do we even have a default business language?
I think the article itself has something to offer regarding this. I remember a good question raised in the article, which is, how can we get to a point where we are language independent and the tools we built are language agnostic? So technology seems to hold the key through rapid translation assisted by artificial intelligence. Another aspect to consider would be about human attitudes towards language use. It can be an emotional issue sometimes when we talk about language rights and language policy and planning. This is because language is intrinsic to the culture and ethnic identity of a particular community. So the whole issue becomes much more complicated in a in a country like ours, where it is a multilingual and multicultural country.
Mm-hmm. So why is fluency in English often linked with one's intelligence, even in countries where English isn't the primary language? And how can we change that perception?
This is indeed a social justice issue. For example, as reported by the BBC recently, where African-American English remains misunderstood and discriminated against in the US. And on an international level, certain types of speakers face judgments based on perceptions of their nationality or race, rather than their actual communication skills. This is sometimes known as linguistic racism. For instance, when English is spoken by some Europeans with their local accent, their English can be considered cute, sophisticated, stylish, etc. But when English is spoken by some Asians, Africans, or Middle Easterners, this form of English may be viewed as challenging or unpleasant. So this is a problem that has attracted the attention of many linguists and those researching language issues. One important way, I think, to change the perception is to begin at school or even from home, where issues of language discrimination or inequality are openly discussed and considered. Another way is the possibility of exploiting the power of machine translation, as suggested in this article.
Okay, so I want to play devil's advocate. Do you think there are any downsides to removing English as the lingua franca when it comes to business and building relationships?
My personal answer is both yes and no. Yes, because a major downside to removing English as the lingua franca when it comes to business and building relations is that those who have been relying on English to hold social, economic, or even political power are slowly losing their privilege or advantage. This is definitely not something that everyone is happy with. And when I said no, it is because when English is removed as the lingua franca, a more inclusive world seems to be created, where almost everyone can have a fair share of society's benefits. So everyone then can be winners in this world. All this sounds idealistic, but it's something to be hopeful for. And I would even add, possibly worth striving for.
Some really interesting stuff. Thank you, Dr. Chow Meng Huat, the senior lecturer at the University of Malaya and visiting professor at De La Salle University, Das Marinas in the Philippines. Thanks for that, Arv. What's the Twitter numbers looking like, or the poll looking like?
So the poll, after a quick refresh, it moved slightly. 89.4% are saying yes to English and 10.6% saying no.
Okay, I've got a message here over on WhatsApp as well from Stephen, who says that yes, English is definitely the lingua franca in the business world. But when it comes to my own workplace, I write emails and documents in English and speak BM to my own BM-speaking colleagues and Mandarin to my Chinese-speaking colleagues and also my Chinese counterparts. Speaking in the mother tongue can often reduce the chances of miscommunication. I mean, yeah, in the past, yeah, for sure, definitely. But as we've been saying now, with the way in which things are moving forward, less chance of that happening soon. What do you think?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Don't.
Exactly.
You know, don't all speak at once. But a miscommunication.
I think it's just a lot to process.
Right.
You know, I think for me, what's in the back of my head is I'm curious to see how this is going to translate to.
You said translate.
Thank you for throwing me off my rhythm. But how this is going to translate to languages that are not necessarily spoken or written. So,
yeah.
For example, things like Braille, things like sign language, where already with sign language especially, there are localized versions of sign language,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'd be curious to see how that's going to affect accessibility for a lot of people. That would be fun to see.
Interesting that you say that as well, because as we came into doing this live show, Arv, I was talking to Christine about Google Meet, actually, and because we do a lot of this broadcasting via Google Meet when somebody is out of the studio. If you've used it, a lot of you will have used it at home as well. The closed captioning, the automated closed captioning on these Google Meets is terrifyingly accurate right now as well. So in terms of what you were just talking about, Chris, you know, accessibility options, we are now at a point where it's so good, you know.
But it can always be better.
But it could always be better.
Yeah.
Anyway, time for a break. Let's have some Haim with The Steps here on BFM. When we come back, final story of the day. But don't forget, though, we do have those polls running. Do you think English is still the default language for the business world? Let us know why or why not at BFM Radio. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.